Thinking a wedding planner isn't in your budget? Think again. Did you know that beyond this podcast, I offer virtual wedding planning coaching? This is something perfect for your needs and your budget. It's not a stale digital course. It's dynamic, it's live, and it's all about empowering you. Together, we'll keep your wedding planning vibe light, fun, and totally dialed in. I'll be your go-to wedding planner right in your pocket, real-time access, just a phone tap or Zoom away. You'll get all my tools. I will personalize them for you, and you're not going to have the hefty price tag of a traditional wedding planner. So save your cash, ditch the stress, and make your wedding planning a journey to remember. For more info, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram. You can go to the bigweddingplanningpodcast.com or just shoot me an email. I'm here for you. Let's make your wedding epic. Lovey, lovey show.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Land that way. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, thank you for joining us. If you've listened to a lot of podcasts of ours, you know some episodes are more entertaining than others. And some are full of more pertinent, vital information than others.
This one's full of info, okay? This is very timely. It's one of those that are a right now, we need it. This is info. A lot of you, if you are planning your wedding between now and a year from now, let's say, right? This is very important info that you're probably like kind of wondering about, that you're not sure about. I mean, we have not been sure about anything. In fact, you know, there's no certainty anymore. I just feel like in the world. And As a wedding planner, I've tried to look into this. I've done research. I've thrown my hands up. I've made phone calls. I've read shit online.
It's changing so fast. So this we're talking about is pandemic wedding planning, basically. What to do, how to do it, how to tell what you're supposed to do, what you're allowed to do, what you should be doing in terms of hosting a safe, fabulous, wonderful event in the middle of an unprecedented time in our lives. And the now is May 5th, 2021. That's the day this episode comes out. So it's been like a weird process. This episode had a weirder process than most of ours when it comes to recording and getting the info, because we're lucky enough to be connected with people who are more in the know than we are, but we recorded several weeks ago.
Yeah, with Elizabeth.
Right, with Elizabeth, and mm-hmm. then revisited it, and we're like, okay, well, even since recording, things have changed. But the library of resources is also always evolving, which she's so great about keeping up to date on her website, which we'll talk about later. And then we also have added another guest in and another interview and trying to give you as much information as we can about what's happening right now. And a lot of that has to do with government and legislators, which is not our
forte
swimming pool most of the time.
I want to share something that really I was thinking about so much that happened this weekend. And this might be happening with you listening, and Christy, maybe with you. So it used to be, you know, when you're in a group of people, you don't talk religion, you don't talk politics, right? Now it's like, you kind of don't talk vaccines. So My family was here this past weekend. It was my dad's birthday. My dad was here, my stepmom, my brothers. We were having a great time. We're in the pool. We're in the hot tub. We're chit-chatting. And we started discussing vaccine. Now, I've been vaccinated. Jose Luis has been vaccinated. My dad, my stepmom, they've been vaxxed. My adult brothers have not. This is something that is happening. And it's a very delicate conversation. And as you'll hear from Elizabeth and Kate, it's something you do want to communicate about, but it can be something that becomes a real difficult conversation. And so the way that you should communicate about it when it comes to your wedding, but I think it needs to be done in the right way. And so that's...
Yeah, it's all about how.
And it's not just a back vaccine. It's about people who are, you know, doing testing for the wedding. You know, what are the laws? What are the regulations? In fact, I don't know if they're even considered laws, right? It's like what is the mandate in the county where your wedding is happening? And does it correspond with the state level and the state health department? I mean, there's so much.
Yeah. And enforcement and thinking beyond your guests, also thinking about the team that you've hired to be there. And I think about that a lot when people say, oh, well, we're having a really small wedding and we see each other all the time. Like, I live with my family. We're inviting some neighbors. Like, there's only gonna be 40 of us. We see each other all the time. It's gonna be fine. Well, there's also a dozen or so vendors that will be present that are hired to be there. And you don't see them all the time.
You don't know what they're doing.
We don't usually know that much about the personal lives of our vendors in many ways. And I'm not even sure that you need to now, but it is still something that if you're planning your wedding, you're probably thinking about or asking yourself, do I need to be thinking about that? The next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we'll see more changes, but we tried to put together an episode that has some guidance and tips for anyone in any, you know, any part of the country planning a wedding of any size, that there's something in here that you should be able to take away and, you know, chew on a little bit, maybe present to your partner. Maybe there's some wording offered to talk to vendors, like just how to proceed. Yeah. This is pandemic etiquette. From a hosting standpoint, which is what you're doing, you're hosting a wedding. And, you know, I think that begs the pun, pandemic it.
Yeah,
and so if you haven't heard that yet, just
Christy thought of it. She
us.
Thought of it just a few moments ago.
I've been waiting pandemic to say it.
How do we have to figure out how to spell that. Pandemic it. Yes. So these are two brilliant women who are fellow wedding planners. Elizabeth is in Oregon. Kate is in California. Not only is Elizabeth a wedding planner, but she was a journalist before this. So she has done so much research and she's like a research like that's like, oh, she's so good at it. And so there's so many resources she has for you, as you will hear. And then Kate is a wedding planner. She's been a wedding planner for, I don't know, 8 years, 10 years. And also she's part of the California Events Coalition, which is the California chapter of the Live Events Coalition. And so she is part of, you know, lobbying, you know, at the governor's office and really being an advocate for the live events industry. And so these two ladies are going to give you so much information and different things to think about and look into. I know they did for us. So, you know, grab a notepad and a glass of wine. Don't take it too serious. Well, take it seriously, but don't stress out about this. Okay. That's not the intention. We just want you to be informed. All right, here you go.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Kramer. I'm a wedding planner in Portland, Oregon, and my pronouns are she, her. I use my work to fight what I and others call the wedding industrial complex. One of the ways I do this is as the co-founder of an event for wedding vendors called Altered. It's for an international event for wedding vendors who want to change the wedding industry.
Oof, coming in hot. Coming in hot.
Changing it from within.
Yeah. Right. I was just listening to, I don't know if you listened to The Daily, but I listened to the episode yesterday on kind of like the current state of like
vaccines and what does it mean? And now those who are vaccinated and those who are not, like, how do we interact? Do we still wear masks? Do we, you know, how many households should gather? Like all of those kind of guidelines and that sort of idea that it's kind of irritating for those who have been vaccinated that we yet still have to be super careful and still have to, you know, we're not out of the weeds yet by any means. In this episode, we want to talk specifically to how to start easing back into live events and how the vaccine and COVID and masks and protocol can be incorporated, because we do have a lot of couples reaching out to us or mentioning this on our Instagram lives about, well, you know, I think like 70% of my guests might be vaccinated by the time my wedding comes around. Like, do I only invite the guests that are vaccinated? Do I ask, how do I do a survey, a poll? Like, do I put this on my invitations? Do I put it on my wedding website? Like, we want to talk about and think through all of these ideas and thoughts and possibilities and what kind of the new temporary norm will be with you. And I know that you've written a lot on this and you're a great writer.
Thanks. That's the journalism degree showing.
You actually have a degree in journalism.
Yeah, which honestly doesn't mean a damn thing. You can be a very successful journalist and not go to school for it.
Yeah. So that being said, let's talk about vaccines.
Me talking about COVID and weddings is bad for my business. It 100% is, right? I mean, my business is based on people coming together to gather here today. COVID also really likes that, right? So I 100% want to acknowledge that I'm in a place where I can talk about this, right? My husband's income has not been affected by the pandemic. So unlike a lot of my vendor friends who have a lot of the same questions, they can't talk about this stuff with their clients, because if they piss off their clients, they could lose that job. And then they can't feed them for their families, right? They can't make rent. Like, those are really real things that are happening with people that I know. And I want to fully acknowledge that. I also think not to talk about COVID at all when it comes to weddings right now, it just disappoints me, because we can have these conversations in a human, empathetic way that don't immediately go to a hostile and firing you place, right? And I don't know a way we're going to get through this next part, whatever this next part is. And you said it so beautifully, Michelle, of like, now it's almost harder, right? Because it's like, some of us are safe, some of us aren't safe.
What I don't know if it's like impolite.
Right.
Ask?
What's the etiquette?
Well, impolite, or like, is it illegal? How do I
totally
you gotta show me your me your vaccination card when you send your RSVP?
Like 100%.
That's gonna happen. And everything.
It's a new world, right?
Yeah,
and we've been dealing with new worlds. It feels like to me every week for 52 weeks, right? So I get that fatigue. So I really commend you both for even talking about it, because the reason I just bang on about this stuff, and I have been for what feels like forever now, but for the last little while, is because is my job as a wedding planner, I do this job to witness joy, right? I mean, that's it at the end of the day. I left my job as a magazine editor, which was surprisingly well paid and not particularly physically hard, to go to the much less better paid, much more physically demanding job of a wedding planner, because I wanted to witness joy, because I wanted couples to get to that blissed out, nirvana place that couples get to when they start their marriage. And I have noticed, both in my own work as a planner working during the pandemic and in conversations I've had with other vendors who have worked many more weddings during the pandemic, as well as with couples who have started their marriages during the pandemic, that the happiest couples, the couples that felt the most joy on their wedding day in the past year, were the couples who made the hardest choices. That's just it. Period, full stop. And so that's why I talk about this stuff so much, is because if your goal is to start your marriage from a place of joy, you got to talk about safety right now. And I know that sucks. And I cannot wait until the day I don't have to talk about, is your wedding going to kill somebody? I mean, I'm not getting this job to talk about that. But until we're at that place, and I do think we're going to get to that place this year, because the vaccine is a miracle, Until we get there, though, we got to talk about it. And yeah. I know that's not fun. It makes me a total Debbie Downer.
Yeah, it's not sexy. It's not people sexy. Like leave the room.
Oh, yeah. I kill the vibe, baby. As long as we don't kill people, I'll kill the vibe until we're done with this thing, you know? So anyway, so that I just like to acknowledge that because I get that fatigue. And I just really ask, like, let's sit with it. Let's acknowledge it. Let's keep going. Because until we're all safe, none of us are safe, right? A big vein of my work, particularly these past 3 months this year, has been kind of starting with a place of, there's two questions, right? First, what is legal, right? Establishing kind of the legal benchmark, and then moving to what is safe. Because unfortunately, and this is not just true for weddings, this has been true, I would say, throughout for many different areas of life, particularly in America in the past year, but what is legal is not always safe. I think we all know that at this point, right? It's kind of probably why we're in this position as we move into April of 2021. So what is legal in your state? Unfortunately, it can be really unclear depending on where you live. So where I live in Oregon, and I have a lot of writing about this on my site, there is guidance for weddings. It is very hard to find because my state government doesn't easily say weddings on kind of the two main hubs that you get COVID information. So, for my state, it's coronavirus.oregon.gov, which is the governor's provided kind of COVID resource website. And then the Oregon Health Authority has what's called a sector guidance chart. So it's a rainbow chart that shows kind of what you can do for different counties. Other two states I'm well-versed in, Washington and California, it's much easier to find this guidance. And again, I want to establish, this doesn't say, in my personal opinion, I'm not weighing in here on what I think of the guidance. I'm just saying, can we even find it? Mm-hmm. So in Washington, they actually say weddings on their guidance. It gets a little murky because then they pass the buck to venues to kind of decide what they want to do. In California, you just go to, I think it's a very similar coronavirus website that's hosted by the state, you type in weddings to their search bar and the guidance for weddings pops up, right? So those processes are much easier. I've talked to couples and vendors all over the country in the last few months, and it really varies. It kind of depends on where you're at. So what I would say to any couple or any vendor listening to this show is, you know, if you're trying to find this information and you are having trouble finding it, first off, it's not you. It took me hours to find this information. And I just happened to be able to have the time to devote to it because it's my full-time job, right? But if you're hitting those roadblocks, email me. I'm very happy to help you find this because first off, you're doing the hard thing. You're even starting rather than what a lot of people do is they, you know, it takes them more than 5 or 10 minutes to Google and they bounce. And that's not because they're bad people. It's probably because they have a lot of other demands on their time, right?
I mean, I've always it's a thought that counts. I tried.
Exactly. Right. I tried. And I get that. I've always joked, you know, you don't get a sabbatical to plan your wedding, right? And so
I have to stop you here because I'm not sure you're aware, but we actually have like millions and billions of listeners. So maybe they shouldn't just email you. They totally should. I love that you said that because we're going to have to email you because we get questions from listeners pretty often. Like Michelle said, for a while, it was like every listener question was COVID related. And a lot of times it's a guessing game. Thank you. Because
say that every show I go on and I never hear from anybody. So if it changes, I'll let you know.
Do you hear that? Listeners,
Elizabeth is challenging you.
She's
right
daring
now.
You.
While you have been talking, I'm noticing your blog, which has such great resources on it, Elizabeth. I want to go back to this question that we've gotten a few times: is like, is it okay for me to like only invite vaccinated guests or to ask if people are vaccinated and, you know, and then if they're not, you know, enforce this or if they are, we're okay. I noticed that you recommend a COVID-19 safety policy for a wedding and that you actually have a template, a Google Doc template that people can download and adapt. And, you know, I think that's a great kind of starting off point for couples and their planners. And I wonder if we can talk a little bit about like what the listener right now, whose wedding is coming up this year, mm-hmm. can incorporate or implement or start maybe now if they haven't really talked about it or thought about it. Like right now, you know, kind of your top, let's say 5 tips, like, you know, where do we start with this?
Totally. Well, I might have 70% of my guests be vaccinated by the time of my wedding. What do I do? And it's a super interesting question. I think it's all part of the same thing of we have to set rules here so that we can actually unclench and enjoy ourselves. And again, I hate that we have to do that right now. And I hope this is PC to say on your podcast, I often equate this whole thing to safe sex, right? When you have a new partner, you have to talk about, hey, have you been tested? You know, and that's not fun. It kills the mood. I get it. I've been there, right? But if you don't do that, you know, it's a little harder to kind of have fun and let go a little bit. Right. So I kind of see them as one-to-one. So as far as your actual question, Michelle, about like, let's start with this question that I get a lot as well of, is it okay if I only invite the vaccinated to my wedding? And here's what I say to that. Yes, it is okay. It is okay because you as a couple get to set the tone for your wedding. I have believed this as a wedding planner my whole career. And I definitely believe it during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I know that can be very challenging to hear. And I don't want to minimize that these are complicated, right? I mean, weddings have always been complicated. But now, of course, we're working in personal health and it turns into a whole thing. And unfortunately, particularly in this country, it can get very political very quickly. And that's hard. I don't want to minimize that. I also think that you and your partner, you get to set the rules for how you want to start your marriage, how you want to give birth to this marriage. And right now in 2021, that involves conversations around vaccines. So yes, you can do it. I know I'm a word person, right? As you may have picked up. So one of the resources on my blog, I have templates. I have exact templates for pretty much every flavor that you want to have this conversation. I have two sets. One is a template set for your guests. So how do you want to talk about testing? How do you want to talk about quarantining? How do you want to talk about vaccinating? How do you want to talk about politely uninviting, which is a real thing that needs to still happen, you know? How do you want to talk about rescheduling to 2022, which arguably you may not have to worry as much about all this stuff if you move to next year, right? I also have a set of templates for a population of people at weddings that usually gets forgotten, which is vendors. And so talking about what does vaccination look there, or quarantining, or testing, or politely firing, what does this look like? To answer your question, is it okay to only invite the vaccinated? Yes, it is. You just have to be human about it.
And be deliberate with your words.
Totally. And that gets a little more complicated when you're talking about how do I talk to vendors? And if vendors aren't vaccinated, which I'm happy to go into more, but for your guests, 100%. And what I've heard is that guests are often very relieved because what they want more than anything is rules to know they're safe, you're safe, everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm. And just to interject and, you know, let the listener know right now that where you can go is Elizabeth's website and it's elizabethkramer.com and Elizabeth with an S.
It's a little special.
And Kramer with a K, elizabethkramer.com, and just click on COVID resources. And I mean, it's all there, organized, well-written, so many resources.
Too much. Some would argue too much.
No, I mean, you know, it's all in one place, man. It's good. It's good stuff. It's good shit.
There's just so much COVID context. I mean, I don't know about you two. I feel like every conversation I have on these topics now, I've bumped all my client emails. Pretty much they're like phone calls now when I have my monthly meetings with clients because the emails I were sending, it's like 2,000, 3,000 words. I'm like, I don't want to read this fucking thing. And I wrote it, you know, it's easier to talk about
too
it,
much.
You know,
too much. So let's talk about wedding professionals, right? Your vendor team for your wedding, because there are, what Christy mentioned a while back is like, what is it? HIPAA rules. And like, I don't think as a couple hiring a wedding professional, I'm not an employer. But let's say a big catering company hiring, you know, or with their staff, like they are an employer. And it's interesting. I was in a clubhouse room the other day and a gentleman said, you know, I can't remember what state he was from, but he was a owner of a catering company. He's like, I just got my second dose of vaccine. Like, do you guys think that I can like advertise this on my website? Like, do you think this is something that couples want to know? And I'm like, yeah,
100%.
I want to know that as a planner, like that's going to, you know, if I tell my clients and by the way, you know, he's vaccinated
100%
to me, that's like a huge selling point. I mean, I say selling loosely,
it is what it is. It's an totally advantage.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't think I can, like, and I have employees and I can't demand that they get, like, we don't know how this works. So is it like, as a couple, can, you know, if my fiance is calling around to, you know, companies, can he ask, like, so is your staff vaccinated? Like, is that weird?
Yeah. So I think this question of can I is interesting. So before I unpack that one, because I'm very happy to talk about it, I want to address the HIPAA thing, because I know, Michelle, you had talked about that with me. And so I did some research, and admittedly, this is an evolving world, right? I mean, we are all living in this changing world every day. From what I can find, HIPAA is about the exchange of information between medical professionals. So again, I haven't talked to a lawyer. I haven't talked to a doctor about this. I myself am not a lawyer or a doctor, but I think HIPAA is being thrown into these conversations a lot because it's a big fancy acronym that we all know and are scared of, but I don't actually think it's being applied correctly. So that's no critique of you. I've heard that more and more from vendors, and I'm like, I'm not 100% sure we're using that right. That said, this question of an employer is very interesting. So I don't employ anybody. I don't have planners under me. I'm not a catering firm. I don't have a team under me. So I can't speak to that. And I really empathize with employers, because I think they're going to have to figure it out, to be 100% honest with you. I mean, until we reach some type of herd immunity, when you can stop thinking about everybody's personal medical history so much, I think they're going to have to figure out what this looks like, because I think that's the world we're moving into. I mean, I think about going to a restaurant, you know, in my state, people who work in restaurants are about to be able to become eligible to be vaccinated. So I'm sure that there are lots of conversations happening right now, just in restaurants, about like, hey, I'm a waiter, I'm going to go get my dose, you know, and then if people aren't, I don't know. I don't know what that
looks like. I think the conversations for restaurants, for management, is they cannot require staff to prove that they've been vaccinated, but these things are changing. I mean, Rutgers University, I read today, said that they're going to require records of full vaccines for every single incoming student. And I read that and was like, okay,
colleges always have recommended or required vaccines.
But then there was this big push, like elementary schools, we used to have to be vaccinated when we were in elementary school, but now there's all these exemptions and like, don't tread on people's liberty. And like, I'm not going to do that. My kid still has a right to go to school. So I think we're about to see in the next like 6 months to a year of like how private businesses and industries are going to.
Which makes my heart hurt for June and July, 2021 weddings, because you are in the middle of this fray. And I just like, I had 8 weddings booked for June and July this year. And, you know, the majority of them have either canceled or picked up to 2022, because like, you don't want to make, you know, you don't want to make case law here. Right. I mean, and I don't think it's that extreme for couples, but it's like, this is changing every day. And so for a lot of people, it's just like, you know what, see you next year. And I totally respect that. But if you are a couple, right, let's not even where do couples fit into this? How do you talk to someone when you're interviewing them to hire them for your wedding? How do you talk about vaccines? What I say on my website and believe personally is you just ask, you know, and you have to be human about it, right? You know, I mean, you can't, if someone either says I'm not comfortable talking about that, or I don't feel like I want to discuss that with you, you have to respect that. That's your answer. Well, it's your answer, and that you have to respect a boundary. It doesn't necessarily mean they're not vaccinated. It just means they might not feel cool talking to you about it for whatever reason.
I mean, that's your answer in terms of that's the information you're getting to make your decision about whether you sign a contract with them or not.
Well, I think there can be some gray area there, right? So I have a wedding in June of this year. And the couple has set a boundary with their guests, which they've already cut their guest list by 100 people. So we're looking at probably about 40 people, which noted is actually well below the legal limit in my state right now for their particular county and their venue. But they have identified, and I agree with this, that fewer people means less risk right now, right? We know that. But they've set a testing and quarantine boundary with their guests, right? So anybody who's coming to this wedding needs to take a test, needs to quarantine. Probably that will also include the fully vaccinated, which there's going to be a significant percentage of people fully vaccinated at this wedding. We talked about what does that look like for vendors. And so I sent emails on their behalf to all of their vendors and just asked, like, what are y'all thinking about this when it comes to testing, quarantining, vaccinating? And people wrote back, and they're super long responses because people are thinking about this. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know a professional who does what I do who isn't thinking about how do I make sure I work a wedding and I don't come home and get my partner sick or right. my kids sick or my grandma yeah. sick. You know, right. I mean, to think that people are not thinking about how do I make sure that I don't go to work and then come home and infect my husband. I mean, come on, you know, well, of course we're thinking about that, right?
So what did your email say? Just like, hey,
pretty much what's on my website, the templates that I have. I mean, anything that's on my website is language I use myself. You know, it's tried and true. Tried and tested. You know, so it's usually some combination, you know, not having my own words in front of me, of just acknowledging the reality, you know, that the priority of my wedding, the priority of my couple's wedding is, you know, as much as they want to start their marriage, they want to prioritize the health and safety of their loved ones and the people they've hired. Again, a very important population to remember. And so we want to have some conversations about where are you at with testing or quarantine? Would you be open to this? We want to respect that as a vendor, that may not be possible for you, both either because financially it might not be possible or because you're working a bunch of other weddings and you can't commit to quarantining. And then, you know, I have language about how you can ask about, we would love to know, you know, kind of where you're at with vaccinating and if you'd be open to doing that, if you're able to do so. Because sometimes people read my writing and they're like, well, I can't even get it yet. I'm going to be penalized. And it's like, I think people understand that we're all waiting for our turn, right? So I think just don't lead on the defense on either side and let's try and meet in a place of empathy. I honestly don't know how we're going to get out of this if we're not willing to talk about things like this. I just don't. You know?
So I'm reading your website and aside, you know, I think what you're recommending is taking that COVID safety policy that you write for your wedding, like your kind of what guidelines you're following, and then sharing that with your wedding professional team, like your vendors. Send that and say, here's what we're doing, or here's what we'd like to do. But and then maybe you say like, I'd love to know if you're willing to share who of your staff is vaccinated. Like, I mean, you just nice and politely ask.
Here, I'm going to pull up my own template so that I can quote myself.
Okay.
Because that's not egotistical at all.
No, you just can't remember what you said.
Well, you write so much about these things. So let's see here. What do I say to my wedding vendors? Okay, liking these links. Who's this woman? She thinks she knows all about these vaccines. Let's look at her template. Let's see what she thinks.
No, this woman's just done way more research.
Well, only, I mean, people say that to me sometimes, and I'm just like, I didn't know how else to do this fucking job.
Well,
I
because mean, that's where your journalist background, though, is like so right. working in your favor because I don't. Sometimes I'm like, well, where the hell do I research?
Well, that's true. And I appreciate that. I think though, I mean, and I would value your opinion both as wedding planners too. I don't want to be the planner for a super spreader wedding. I don't want to be the planner for a wedding where somebody dies.
Nope.
You know, I don't want to be the planner for a wedding where the couple gets sick. What a shitty place to start your marriage. You know, I hate to be that black and white about it, but that's what it really comes down to me. And I apologize if I sound like I'm getting angry. I think I'm just exhausted after 13 months. You know, I'm exhausted of people telling me, I don't want to talk about this. I'm sick of COVID. It's like, yeah, get in line. Me too. You know, and I'm really sorry. And I really want this to be successful for everyone. We also need to, you know, be honest with each other that like, yes, there's light at the end of this tunnel, which is a miracle and something we didn't have, but we're not there yet. We just aren't. And if this is too much, which I 100% get, do it next year. You can still get legally married this year. There's lots of ways to do that safely. But if the big party, you know, when whatever big might mean here for you, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 200 people, if this is fatiguing you, stop doing it. You know, I mean, be humane with your vendors because their livelihoods are tied to those decisions. You know, if possible, please pay out their balances, even if they don't work your wedding. You know, please maybe even consider paying them more because many vendors are on unemployment and unemployment is not a lot of money, you know, or at least, you know, write them a review if paying them out is not possible for you. Do something because vendors are fatigued as well. But you know, I get a little frustrated after a year because
it's not a time to bury our head in the sand and be like, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm moving
on
now.
Keep going. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I wish I could bury my head, but I want this to stop. Yeah. I want to be able to hug my mom again, you know? So as far as what, if you're talking to your vendor, so, you know, for example, if your boundary is vaccination, we are asking all guests who are attending our wedding in person to please be vaccinated before attending the wedding. If vaccination is not possible, and we understand it may not be, we are asking them to take a COVID test the week of the wedding. So that's one example. So if you're talking to a vendor, again, we are very much want to respect your personal boundaries here. So as comfortable to you, would you be willing to share with us where you're at with vaccination? If you prefer to discuss this over the phone, please let us know. We recognize this is delicate and difficult information to discuss, and we want to do our best to find a way to work together while prioritizing safety. So it's very, you know, there's a lot of caveats in there. There's a lot of room for empathy. You may or may not get a direct response, but at least starts the conversation. And I'm an advocate for that, because what else is happening? If you don't talk about it, I mean, you don't know, right? I mean, then we're in this weird void. And I think that's where people can get sick, or they can feel unsafe, all that kind of stuff.
Very good.
So like I said, there's lots of different flavors. And I hear from couples that, you know, sometimes they use what I write and they add their own stuff, and that's cool. That's why they're Google Docs. You download them, and you, these are really just meant as a way to start, because what I don't want to have happen is that you don't start. I also wanted to say, you know, I whenever I talk right now about COVID in particular, I just really want to acknowledge that I know it's not easy. You know, I know it's not easy for couples. I know it's not easy for vendors. And I used to pride myself that I wasn't prescriptive for people about weddings. Like, that was my whole thing. I'm not going to tell you how to have your wedding, right? You don't have to have X, Y, or Z. As long as you start your marriage in a place of joy, I'm here for it, you know. But now with COVID, I have become much more prescriptive, because the stakes are so much higher, right? It just, they are. And so I just like to say, you know, I really do welcome however people may feel about this. And I want to hold space for all of that. I also know sometimes people want timings when I talk about all this, like, when do I have to make a choice? And again, you'll read this on my site. I say 60 days. That's the go, no do, go date. I'm telling any 2021 couple is 60 days before your wedding date. That's when you need to decide based on current regulations and or just kind of where we're at mentally at that time. I can unpack why 60 days, but that's my go, no go.
So decide what though? Decide if you're having the wedding, or decide if you're enforcing. Yeah.
What our wedding plans look like for 2021. So the full enchilada. So are we getting legally married and having a big party next year? Are we having a smaller, safer wedding this year? Are we scrapping the whole thing and we're going to regroup in a few, you know, whatever it might be. That's when you decide, because the stress that I hear so much from couples is the churn. It's not actually the making the choice. Making the choice is often very clarifying. Yeah. It's all of the back and forth beforehand. So just to kind of cut that pain off, this is the date I tell people. That's,
like,
that's
make a decision. Date.
Make your decision.
Yeah.
Take the decision, move forward. Because, you know, it's the going, like, oh, we're going to call it 2 weeks before. We're going to call it 48 hours. That I notice is where the most stress comes from. And who needs more stress at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But as far as where people can find me, you already very kindly shared my website, so elizabethkramer.com, with the S for Elizabeth and the K for Kramer. Very similar for Instagram, Elizabeth Kramer PDX is where I'm at on Instagram. I am on Twitter too, which is not super popular for couples or vendors, but that's E Kramer PDX. So yeah, no, I welcome, you know, my best story ideas come from readers. So I welcome ideas, and I hope those resources are of value to vendors and to couples.
Very good, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and your research with everybody on the podcast. We appreciate you coming on and chatting
with us
about
today. I'm not super fun to talk about this stuff. So thank you both. I know it's not easy.
It's awesome.
We'll call you back for one of our upcoming episodes. Most hilarious drug trip of my 20s.
Hey, let's do it.
Start to think about it.
Okay, I'll do it. I was going to say, talk to me. Like, I can be really fun. I promise. I promise. People, I've heard it.
We'll get you on a cocktail hour and, like,
oh my gosh.
So just tell us what you really think.
Just anything that, yeah, no, I look forward to that. I was telling someone the other day, I'm like, can't wait till I talk about fairy lights again. Like, I never thought I'd be like looking forward to fairy lights, you know?
Yes. Yes.
God, I don't want to talk about testing anymore, but, you know,
oh my
here
gosh.
We are.
So. All right.
Well, thank you both. You. It was a pleasure, and I really appreciate you chatting.
Hi, I'm Kate with Kate Whalen Events and one of the co-founders of the California Events Coalition.
And you have been on our podcast before, Kate.
I have.
So this is just kind of like a revisit with Kate, because when you came on originally, we were talking about the California Events Coalition. And, you know, that was, hold on, I'm looking it up.
We weren't open yet, that's for sure. California
definitely
shut down.
Yes, that was episode number 214 that released on September 9th of 2020. Yeah. So it was this weird time where we had kind of opened for a minute in the summer, for a minute, kind of. And then like everything went to shit again. And so that episode was great because, you know, you talked about what you do for the California Events Coalition and gave a lot of tips. So really quickly, briefly, can you describe California Events Coalition?
Yeah, well, we are an organization that represents live event businesses and just live events in general. So really our customers as well. And we're there to advocate, provide resources to, educate, support the live event industry. So we were founded because of the pandemic, but we also have other issues at mind that we need to keep in mind for the live event industry. But the pandemic was really the catalyst to what started. And part of that is that we knew that the live events industry would be the first to be closed and the last to reopen. And that is still the case. There are still segments of the live event industry that are still shut down to this day in California.
Yeah, I feel like what did they start with? They start with like concerts or like sporting events, Kate? What did we start with?
I think it's sporting events, concerts, and then it rapidly locked down to gatherings, social gatherings. But I think by the time September rolled around, when you and I were talking, they had had a few lawsuits related to religious gatherings, and religious gatherings were then permitted. But the receptions themselves were not permitted in California. So it made it very difficult for these businesses to operate. And we lost a lot of vendors because they weren't able to keep their doors open during that time.
Yeah. And you're a wedding planner.
I am. Yes.
How long have you been a wedding planner?
I've had Kate Whalen Events since 2008. So is that 14 years now? My gosh.
We're our 14th 10, 11. Yeah. You're going on 14.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So what I want to focus on with you is just talking to those out there that are listening who are both planning their weddings and maybe who are in the wedding industry. And I'm not assuming that you all listening are in California. Like Kate and I are in California. Kate is part of the California Events Coalition, which is, you know, kind of, are you affiliated with the Live Events Coalition? Is that right?
So we are the official state chapter for California for the National Live Events Coalition. So we do have a national organization that we are affiliated with.
Okay, great. So just that in and of itself, somebody from out of the state of California could potentially go to the National Live Events Coalition website and get some resources there.
Yes, liveeventscoalition.org. All of the coalitions that have actively partnered with Live Events Coalition will be listed on their website. So you can easily find your local state chapter and get more information about what's going on in your state.
Excellent. Okay, so liveeventscoalition.org. You and the other members of the California Events Coalition have actually been lobbying. Like you've been going to the state capitol here in California. Is that right?
Virtually. We have been having meetings. We've even been having meetings with the California Department of Public Health and GoBiz, which is the governor's small business organization, to discuss reopening. We were a part of the actual development of the guidelines for reopening for private events in California. Yeah. We were able to gather information from our constituents, including our clients and other planners and other types of vendors, to be able to give feedback to the health department and the state on what would work well for reopening. So yes, we've definitely been lobbying. We were a huge part of supporting the Live Events Coalition with federal efforts to get funding to these businesses. And I think that's important to not only the businesses that listen, but to the clients, because I know that many of you probably had deposits and retainers with these businesses, and we're hoping and crossing your fingers that they were still going to be around by the time you would be able to have your event.
Yeah. So I think what, you know, what I really wanted to talk about is kind of resources for people out there, both people planning their weddings and people who are in the wedding industry, where they should be looking, where they should be going, what they should know. Because, you know, for example, I have a wedding coming up in September and it's in Livermore. And last I looked, I haven't looked at your resources in the past probably week and a half, but I remember when they first came out and we were all excited. I think it was like the first day California or the health, the California Health Department released something. Maybe the first day there was something to do with dancing in there. And then by the next day they had removed something to do with dancing.
Yeah. So I think what got popped, so there were screenshots that were sent around that shouldn't have been sent around to people. We actually all signed non-disclosure agreements with the CDPH to even be able to be a part of those conversations. And unfortunately, people still screenshot stuff that shouldn't have been released. What was weird is we literally had a meeting with CDPH on a Monday. And on Monday, when we were looking at those guidelines, there was a line in the guidelines that said dancing permitted in designated areas. Just that sentence. That was the only thing that referenced dancing. That was it. When the guidelines were released in the late evening, by the way, they released like 7:45, 8 o'clock at night by CDPH, that line had been removed. And I think part of it is these health departments are so hesitant to get involved with anything that could cause lawsuits. And dancing is such a difficult conversation because it's so culturally relevant in so many different ceremonial gatherings that they just didn't really want to touch it. So they just removed it. However, this is one of the things that we can do for you as an organization. We went back to CDPH and said, there's a lot of bad information going around. Can you please clarify? And we've also published a letter that we received from them in response to that effort. And they clarified that, again, dancing is permitted in designated areas. So that is now written by CDPH publicly on our website.
What does designated areas mean?
I think they mean a dance floor. I think what they're trying to, they really, really are concerned with people who are taking their masks off and eating or drinking. And so if those things are happening at tables and the tables are enough apart to where they're socially distanced and not spreading anything, if people are dancing on a dance floor and that's separate, they're not as worried about people taking their masks off. So everything that they've really described this is they're just trying to stop the spread of variants. And that's one of the reasons why even if events are fully vaccinated events in California, CDPH still wants all the attendees wearing masks during the event, unless they're seated at their assigned table and eating and drinking. So they're just trying to lower, it's the same concept that we had from the get-go, is not overburdening our healthcare system.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part about all of this and what we have learned. You know, there's been so many like false starts and like hints of things to come and all of this. And we're all, it's like we're tea leaf readers.
Right.
Trying to be psychic, trying to take any tidbit of information that we can find. And what does it mean? And does this mean that? And it's just so hard to really know where we're going to be, you know, in a few months. CDPH in particular in California, and I think this is the way that it is with a lot of health departments, they don't know what things are going to look like in a couple of months. They're watching certain variants very closely. I think there's some in Michigan that they were really concerned with for a while because they were spreading pretty rapidly amongst children. Ooh. And this is something that's interesting about California that I didn't know before, but California's population is 25% children. So we have like a much larger young population than other states. And so they're thinking, oh, if this variant makes it our way, this is might be an issue, especially with schools opening back up. So they're thinking about it in those terms. And that's why they're so unwilling to give us any certainty, which is what we're all craving so much right now. Yeah. So one of the ways that we have handled that as an organization and how many other coalitions are handling it is that we're publishing the information that we find sometimes daily, sometimes weekly, as quickly as we can find it on our website. So finding a local coalition to figure out what's going on is the best thing that you can do. We even have weekly clubhouses, clubhouse chats on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And We actually have brides and grooms come into those chats all the time to ask questions, to get clarification on the guidelines themselves, what we see coming down the pipeline. There's some, you know, our governor had made a statement that after June 15th, that our tier system would be going away. And I, you know, I think there's this perspective that means that everything's just going to open back up and go back to normal. From talking to CDPH, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think some other kind of, maybe not, you know, the tier system, but some other kind of guidelines is what we're going to be going to. And they kind of implied that masks aren't going anywhere for a little while.
Yeah.
But we don't know. I think it really depends on a lot of things. It depends on our cases related to variants. And it also depends on how many people are willing to get vaccinated in the state. Because as we approach, you know, a larger percentage of people who are vaccinated, the less likely that we're going to, again, inundate our healthcare system and cause another shutdown.
So a couple of things. The clubhouse room that you all are doing weekly, I would love to know some of like what the questions you're getting asked over and over again are by couples. But what I want to just like for a second stay on the tier system, like we here in California, we have different color tiers, and that kind of shows how severe the COVID numbers are in that county. And then county itself, you know, then they have guidelines for each county based on the tiers. If the tier system goes away, does that mean like each county can do whatever they want?
They can do that now, and it's happening now. Even with these new private event guidelines that came out, you know, there are certain counties that are being more strict. Every county in the state of California has the ability to be more strict than the state, but not less strict.
Okay, so that's good to know.
Yeah, for instance, at Los Angeles County has some very particular rules about dancing, food service, and so forth that other counties do not. In fact, you have to submit a COVID event plan prior to your event for every single event that you do in the county of Los Angeles. Wow. And I think it kind of makes sense that that's happening because as we know, this past winter, they got hit ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of the contact tracing was pointing back to private events, unfortunately. So I think they're just trying to be as cautious and watch that as closely as they can.
Yeah. That's one thing that we always say. And that's one thing we were talking with Elizabeth Kramer, the other planner for this episode, is like, nobody wants to be the wedding that, you know, was the result of somebody's death or serious illness. It's just like, everybody is afraid a lot. Not everybody. There are people who are not, but a lot of people are, you know, nobody wants that to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the recurring questions you're getting from couples?
Well, I would say dancing is probably the number one question that we
number
get.
Number one.
Yep. Yeah. I think because it wasn't addressed, it's just confusing for people when they read those private event guidelines, what they mean.
Dancing, do you think the venue is just going to tell the couple what they can do for dancing? Are they just going to have to rely on what the venue, if they have a professional venue, if it's a home wedding, different story, but.
So we asked CDPH who held the liability for enforcing these rules. And while, you know, ultimately our clients or the brides and grooms own that guest list, and that's really who controls who attends and who doesn't attend, they wanted a professional entity to be in charge of that. And they actually identified by their language in the addendum in the blueprint, that venues actually hold that responsibility. So if anything were to happen liability-wise, that venue would be held responsible. So they're the ones that are actually in charge of, if you're having a fully vaccinated or tested event, to gather that information in a safe HIPAA-compliant way prior to the event. And I actually asked this in a CDPH meeting personally. I said, well, what if this is at a home wedding? They then said that the host would be held liable and the host is responsible for gathering that information for that event.
Wow. Okay.
So that is a common question as well, probably more often by venues. the clients definitely are curious as to like, okay, if we want to have these. So in California, if you want to have a larger guest list, you get a bonus, essentially. That's actually how CDPH has actually described it. If you're willing to have a fully tested and fully vaccinated event, you actually are allowed to have a larger event if you're willing to do that. And so they consider that a bonus for being willing to follow those rules. If you decide that you don't want to worry about testing or vaccination, then you have a much smaller guest list. So like 50 people versus like 100, as an example, in certain tiers. It definitely varies per tier. So I think a lot of our clients are like, okay, well, I definitely want to have more people. And, you know, what does that mean for me? So they've asked in those terms. And then I think in relation to that, the other question that we get a lot is, well, what happens if everybody's vaccinated? The CDC recently came out with some language that stated that if people are fully vaccinated, especially those that you're close with, which are the primary guests at your wedding, you can now take your mask off when you're outside. Well, unfortunately, because there are vendors there, it's no longer just your close friends and family. So now you still have to wear masks at private events when you're outside, even if you're fully vaccinated and if the vendors are fully vaccinated. Because again, we now know that you can actually carry and spread variants amongst people, even if you're vaccinated, and they are trying to make sure that those variants are not spread. So that's their reasoning behind it. Now that could change any moment, but that's kind of where we're at right now in California.
And when we say right now, Kate and I are recording this on Monday, May 3rd, 2021, just for those who might be listening in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so crazy that we are here, May of 2021, looking back at this crazy year, that we're still in this place. I mean, I think when we were, you know, in March of last year, none of us thought we would still be dealing with this in May of 2020.
I know. We were like, oh, what was it? Like 2 weeks. And then it was 6 weeks. And then it was, we don't know what the hell. Yeah. No, I think it was June. I think June we were supposed to be back to normal.
Yeah.
you know, last year I did get away with a wedding, or we did. And it was in the summer. And it was quite a journey. It was literally like we changed venues several times and the guest list went from 180 to like 24, I think was the total. At one point they wanted to have it at her parents' house. And so I called the county and I was like, what are the rules? And they're like, we don't know. We don't have rules. We can't tell you go for it, but we also don't have rules. And then I remember calling the local like police department. I'm like, okay, what if a neighbor calls and says, these people are having a party? And the police department said, well, if it's a noise issue, we can shut you down. But other than that, we can't do it. So it's interesting because you get, this is what couples start saying, well, who's policing this?
Right.
You know,
and that's the thing, like, it's not that you're going to necessarily, in some counties, you could get fined. Like mm-hmm. It started to get to the point in Los Angeles again, when it was really bad, where they would just shut your power off. They wouldn't.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Santa Barbara, it was $1,000 and a potential misdemeanor and you could go to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, there were definitely places that were holding consequences. Like the DA in Los Angeles had to make a statement, you know, so it just depends on what area you're in. However, no matter where you were at, no matter what event you were having, there was liability. If someone died because they were at your event and it was contact traced back to your event and you were the host or the planner or the caterer, someone could sue you. And it's California and it's a very litigious state. And I think we're going to see more of these lawsuits over the next year. And no insurance company is covering a business for liability when it comes to any kind of pandemic or disease or illness, and nobody's covering their clients. Like you can't get event insurance for your clients right now that would cover you for something like this. So there's a huge liability. On top of that, if you're like a catering company and one of your employees got sick from the event, they could have gotten sick going out with their friends on the weekend. However, California made it an onus on the employer that they had to prove that they didn't get sick at work. So the onus is actually on the employer. So the liability for employers right now is just insane in California.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's the not obvious stuff that were the risks in those moments, aside from potentially having a loved one get sick or ill. It's those things. And, you know, we knew that these events were happening, and we knew that there were special circumstances like what was happening with your clients. And then there's also vendors that were kind of pushed into a corner based on what their contract said with clients that wanted to move forward, regardless of how safe that vendor felt. You know, we just asked, as we did, to not like publish these events to confuse other clients. You know, that's the problem, is that a lot of our clients were like, well, I just saw my friend get married this weekend with 300 people, but I can't, you know, and they didn't understand. It was very confusing, you know? Yeah.
There's a huge amount of liability, and it's, you're right. It's not just about the guests getting sick. There's businesses that will, owners that will be sued, fined, go out of business. I mean, there's so much more. But the good news is things are moving in the right direction.
Yes.
And again, in contrast to a year ago at this time, we all were like, you know, sitting in our house with, you know, with the blankets up to our eyeballs going like, I don't know what's going on. You know, like, this is freaky. So I feel good about the way things are going. And I think that part of the reason we wanted to do this episode and release this is that we just don't want people to jump the gun quite yet. And I'm not saying don't have a wedding. I'm not saying cancel your plans. I'm not saying it's not going to happen this year, but do know that like the masks are not going anywhere.
Yeah. You still need to be flexible because things could change any minute, like regarding masks, regarding any of the guidelines. We could get shut down again if some crazy variant comes around. I mean, you just have to, if you're wanting to get married this year, you have to be willing to be flexible. And I think with the mask thing too, it's really important. It's been important to me. Like, I gave the guidelines to my clients the night they went out. I sent them an email, I sent them to them. And then I scheduled phone calls with them so that we could discuss what they meant and like how they were interpreted and what that would look like, because these are not the same events that people were envisioning. These are different and they're not bad. You know, like, this is a story to tell. You got married in a pandemic. It's kind of cool in a lot of ways for those of you that are willing, but you have to kind of re-envision what that wedding looks like and make sure that you're comfortable with it before you really go gung ho, because it's not going to be exactly what you thought before, you know?
Okay, so Kate, I'm your client and I'm getting work scheduled for October. What is the talk you're going to have with me? Like, what are the points you want to go over?
Well, I'm really lucky in that most of my clients are wanting to have fully vaccinated events, but that's the one thing.
How does that work though? I mean, are they putting that in the invitations? Are they putting that on their wedding website?
No, I think that's a really sensitive etiquette. Like, there's this whole new pandemic etiquette someone should come out with a book with pandemic etiquette, like something along those lines, because there's this new like perspective of pandemic etiquette. I personally feel like that's not a conversation that you notify someone of via an invitation or a website. Most of my clients have had personal conversations with their guests. So they're not 300 person weddings. They're probably closer to 100, 150 or less. And they've genuinely reached out to each of these households. Many of the households they're already in contact with already, so they don't have to. But I really recommend these be more personal conversations, especially because this is about someone else's health and it really isn't their business to tell you whether or not they're willing to get vaccinated or tested.
Right.
That's something that you have to keep in mind. There are HIPAA laws. We actually would recommend that no one should be asking anyone for their vaccination card or test records. The only time that someone giving you that information is okay is if they're voluntarily giving it to you, not that you are requesting or making it a requirement. If it is something that's a requirement to enter an event and guests are aware that they have to do that and they furnish it, that's fine. We personally will not be gathering information from guests. We will be hiring a business that has a COVID compliant encrypted database that keeps all of our guests' information secure and keeps it private, because this really is private information that shouldn't be shared outward. So I think because I work with a lot of doctors and medical professionals, they're comfortable with that. And they were comfortable having those conversations with their guests, letting them know that they would feel most comfortable having just a vaccinated only event. And I don't know if there have been some uncomfortable conversations, because they've just come to me and said, this is what's going to work for us. So that might change. I may have someone say, hey, I've got an aunt and she's really upset. She can't be there, or something along those lines. But yeah, I mean, most of my clients are either fully vaccinated or definitely have guests that are willing to be tested.
Do you have resources on CEC website of these, you know, businesses that have this COVID encrypted information, or do you have recommendations of where to find those?
So we have a resources page on our website. If you go to californiaeventscoalition.com, there is a resources dropdown that says reopening. And if you click on the reopening page, we actually have links to several different apps that provide this service. And if you are a member of the California Events Coalition, if you're you know, a vendor and you've decided to join our coalition, we actually have a recording of a few resources where we've interviewed and done Q&A with several of them. And we'll be sending them out to all of our members via a newsletter after that event.
Okay, great. I see it here. There's all sorts of apps, iScreen Health, CrowdPass. Okay.
All of the apps on the reopening page on our website, those can be used anywhere. They're all not just state-based. They can be used in any state. So they're great resources for everyone.
Okay, great. I think this has been really educational for anybody listening. We want to just continue to move forward. We want to open back up. I always say this, I'm a cup half full kind of girl. That's just my personality. I feel like we're going to be in a great place in the fall, but what the hell do I know? And you know, I know a lot of you listening are planning weddings for this year. I know that that's happening. We want to make sure you're doing it in a safe way. We want to make sure you can just, you know, find the resources you need and just be safe, you know, just do it the right way.
Anything I agree. Else? Thank you so much. I think we just need to support the businesses that you're employing by being safe, support your friends and family by being safe. Just keep that in mind. In the long run, you are protecting your community and all of the businesses that are a part of your vendor team. We think of our clients like family at the end of the day, and we think of our vendor team as like our dream teams and our family. So everything that we do to support and protect your guests, we do to support and protect our vendors as well, because we're one big community.
That's right. Kate Whalen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again. And, you know, thank you for all that you're doing to help all of us. Thank you to the California Events Coalition. And oh my gosh, I know you've got so much on your plate. So really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.